local talk jock Howie Carr. He'll just be another lost voice.
Would you look at this as an end of an era in Boston?
He has no place to go. AM talk is just too dumb. I mean, it's too tedious and repetitive.
And this is just, you know, one more indication of how outrageous he can be.
Here they are ripping me now, and I'm still here. I'm still standing.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio.
And I'm still here.
It's Howie Carr.
He may still be standing, but he's not on the air today. Howie Carr is off. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for the captain, in for the big guy. You know someone who's not off today, Jared?
Us.
Definitely, that's true. Definitely you. Thank you for being here. Thank you to the whole team of the Howie Carr Show for making this look and feel easy. Thank you to WGAN and the Portland Radio Group for letting me broadcast out of their studio. Save me the trip down to the Howie Carr Radio Network. But you know who's not off today is Donald Trump.
The Learing
Trump.
Center?
The Learing Center?
Yeah. They're open 7 days a week, right?
24 hours a day. Just if you want to steal their checkbook, you've got to tunnel in through the wall. You got to get the penguin mobile with that. What do they call it? Is it a drill on the front of it? You know, those cars that they have, they just like tunnel through. Maybe it was like the Boring Company. Has anyone seen what Elon Musk is doing? Maybe it was Elon with the Boring Company in the conservatory. No, President Donald Trump is not off today. He is truthing up a storm. He has just announced that he's withdrawing the National Guard troops from three major cities. He's pulling the troops back from Chicago, from Los Angeles, and from Portland, Oregon. This all coming on the heels, of course, of the Supreme Court ruling that found that he didn't have sufficient justification in order to do it. But is this a bit of foreshadowing, Jared? In his Truth Social post, he says, we're removing National Guard from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Portland, despite the fact that crime, in capital crime, has been greatly reduced by having these great patriots in those cities, and only, capital only, by that fact. He continues and says, we will come back, perhaps in a much different and stronger form, when crime begins to soar again, only a question of time, foreshadowing a fact that he has not yet invoked the Insurrection Act. And I think it's on his bucket list. And if I had to guess, that when murders are out of control, we will once again see the National Guard return. Announcement from Donald Trump this last day of 2025. The show must go on. We are here. We are bringing you the Howie Carr Show. And that must mean, Jared, that it's time for the Chump Line.
Aaron, Governor LePage calling. Do you know what your New Year's resolution should be? To shave that damn beard. You look like a Portland panhandler.
You know, and Governor LePage would get mad at the legislature. They sometimes used to block his appointments to these boards and commissions or to lead departments and stuff. And whenever they would do it, he would look out the window in the governor's office and he'd point over to, there was a rotary. And there would be the panhandlers that had the signs asking for money. And he'd say, you go out there, you find me the first person you see that's standing there asking for money, and you put them up. We'll nominate them. See how they like it.
Meet Tim Walz, Marvel's new comic book hero. He steals money, he steals valor. He steals credit, he steals virtue. He steals the souls of the citizens of his state. He's the genuine Man of Steel.
I don't know. You had me until you used the word man. I don't have enough evidence to prove that he is. Like, we haven't seen it. We've got as much evidence that Tim Walz is a man as we have reason to question Nick Shirley. Today's Chump Line is brought to you by Colette Tours. Discover Scotland with Colette and with our friend Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. The trip's in September. Colette will handle all the details, the flights, the meals, the hotels, and the local experiences. Meanwhile, your only job will be to have the time of your life. To join Toby, call Colette at 800-581-8942 or go to HowieCarshow.com and click the banner to learn more.
Guten Tag, Aaron. This is Grand Platina. I am here in my Oyster High Castle, and I just want to say Happy New Year. And when I meet your girlfriend, Susan Collins, we have ways of making you shave.
So much hate for my beard today. First Governor LePage, now Graham Platner. What's next, Shenna Bellows?
Unless these cheating Somalis go to jail, they will never leer anything.
Touche.
Can you be deported for tax evasion? Asking for some Somali friends.
I mean, there are many ways to skin a cat. Several of the texters pointing out what it was that Al Capone actually went down for. There's going to be a lot more than tax evasion that comes out of this. I think the fraud, the stealing, the blatant. I mean, they're now that they've got the feds involved and looking at everything going down there, Gateway Community Services, they're looking at the residency of Iman Osman. I think we're going to see a lot more coming out of some of these communities.
Minnesota means cloudy water. Kind of describes Tim Walz's future.
I don't think there is a future for Tim Walz. His future is, as they say, in the past.
T-minus 6 hours, 45 minutes or so before Ma'am Donnie begins the fundamental transformation of New York City.
So is New York the only place that swears people in on New Year's Day that makes that the official? Like, it seems weird to me. A lot of people have some sort of inauguration. It's delayed. It's a start. But I guess New York... leave it to them to do it with a bit of drama. They are dropping the ball tonight, and this will be the first year. I'm excited for this. 2026 will be the first year they do it twice. They're going to do it a second time on July 3rd as they count down to America's birthday. I'm excited for that. I think the red, white, the blue, let's celebrate.
This squawking about white supremacists, does that mean Al Sharpton is a black supremacist?
Does Al Sharpton still have a show on the MSNBCNOW channel? Like, did he get to keep his show?
I think he did, actually.
In that case, I mean, he's a disgrace. That's what he is.
The Interfatata.
Iremer, it's the traditional New Year's holiday, and the age-old question remains. What will drop first? The ball or my trousers?
Did you see Trump was going after the Kennedys again for the Kennedy Center? He was going after them for not raising money for it, not supporting it. And he said the only member of the Kennedy family that's even been there recently is Bobby because he's in the Trump administration. But, you know, I think it's a memorial to the president. I wouldn't change a name. Also, I do want to say, just personally, that I know one of the members of the Kennedy family just died very young of cancer, and I can't imagine that this is an easy time of year for that to happen. So I do miss Teddy, though. I do miss having Uncle Ted to kick around.
That was your last Chump Line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
Today's Chump Line was brought to you by Colette Tours. Discover Scotland with Colette and with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. This September, Colette will handle all the details, the flights, the meals, the hotels, and the local experiences. Your only job is to have the time of your life in Scotland. To join Toby, call Colette at 800-581-8942 or go to HowieCarshow.com and click the banner to learn more.
Unless these cheating Somalis go to jail, they will never leer anything.
This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
We are back on the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. Today's poll question brought to you by JJ Manning Auctioneers. Join the Howie Carr Show and JJ Manning Auctioneers for a live broadcast where you'll be able to observe, participate, bid in the auction of Karen Reed's Lexus SUV. It'll take place January 30th from 2 to 5 p.m. at Central Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Fiat on Route 1 in Norwood. Jared, before we get to the poll question, give me a little of Cut 26.
Our founders drafted the First Amendment specifically to protect the rights of citizens to criticize the government.
Yeah, here's the thing. Jimmy Kimmel being pulled off the air because of a distasteful thing that he said that offended people is not a violation of the First Amendment. Yeah, you could say the FCC chairman Carr and whatever he threatened and all of that, that could be it. But like, you don't have a right to have a TV show. If people don't like you, if the people that own the stations don't like you, if they don't want to air your television program, that's consequences of people not watching, people not liking it. If you're Stephen Colbert and people don't want to lose money airing your television show with the like 400 writers and staff that you employ, I mean, it's insane the way that these people behave, like they're entitled to these different things. So Sunny Houston there, one of the ladies of The View, representing two of our losers of the year, both the ladies of The View and Jimmy Kimmel. Jared, what is our poll question today and what are the responses?
They're losers. They're just losers.
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarshow.com, is who was the biggest loser of 2025? The Biden crime family, Kamala Harris, Jimmy Kimmel, the ladies of The View, or Tim Walz?
I mean, they're all terrible losers. All terrible losers.
And I'm a knucklehead.
And he is a knucklehead. I think he does take the cake. But I think if you give us just give us a little bit of how terrible the ladies of The View are. Cut number 25.
Anyway, she's threatening to go to the Super Bowl when Bad Bunny is there and round up all these people that are illegal immigrants. Do you think that she would go if it was Garth Brooks or Eminem mm-hmm. or Taylor Swift any other white person?
Let me understand what you're saying, because she's going to go to the Super Bowl mm-hmm, and yeah. round up. How's she going to know who's who?
Because the Supreme Court has given permission to question anyone who has a Spanish accent or has a dark skin.
Yeah. So here's
that's
the
why.
Thing. Here's the thing. Everybody, get a little cocoa butter, sit in the
right.
sun. That's the first thing. and this is the only time you can probably ever do this, give yourself a Latin accent.
You know, Whoopi, that is
and
such a good
see,
idea.
And see if she can tell who's who.
The who, the her.
I mean, Trump has just like kind of broken their brains. They don't even know what to do. They don't know how to talk. They don't know how to react. The things that they say that are coming out of their mouth are ridiculous. But I got to be honest, the most embarrassing loser of the year has to be Mr. Tampon himself. Cut number 28, Tim Walz.
You get up in the morning and you doom scroll through things. And although I will say this, the last few days you woke up thinking there might be news. Just saying, there will be news sometime. Just so you know, there will be news.
Well, he's a loser. You know, I mean, the guy's a loser.
That's what we woke up to the last several days, Tim, is we did wake up and there was some news. And the news is, you're a loser.
46% of the audience agrees that Tim Walz is the biggest loser of 2025. Kamala Harris came in at 19%, 18% for the Biden crime family, 11% for the ladies of The View, and 6% for Jimmy Kimmel.
All right. Thank you to everyone for playing. Tim Walz, officially the greatest loser of the year. 844.
Joy to the world.
All right.
844-500-4242, the number on the Howie Carr Show. Let's go to the phones and talk to Chris. Chris, you're on the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, Aaron, you know, the Jimmy Kimmel thing and the whole freedom of speech, you know, I said to the call screener, you know, everybody talks about the cliche that the freedom of speech doesn't give you the right to yell fire in a crowded theater. But what it also doesn't give you a right to is to force somebody to pay what you're thinking. You can't force someone to pay you to say what you want to say. He could still say whatever he wants. just as I'm calling you, and I can go stand, I'm from Maine, and I can go stand in a soapbox in downtown Bangor and say whatever I want. That's freedom of speech. But what I can't do is force, say, the Bangor Daily News to publish what I have to say, or to force ABC to put me on TV to say what I have to say. That's a completely different thing. It's apples and oranges.
Yeah, no, good points, Chris. Thanks for the call. And I think that that's really, I mean, there are First Amendment arguments to be made here when, you know, if the FCC chairman says that if you say things that the government doesn't like, they'll yank your license, they'll yank it from the government. That would be government retaliation for things that you said. That could be First Amendment interference. But for the companies that own the stations broadcasting it to say, look, we're not going to carry your program anymore because we don't like the guy. He's gotten too political. He's not funny. Like, they can do that. That's absolutely something they can do. So it all depends who the actor is, what the offense is. But nobody's crying for Jimmy Kimmel. He cries enough for all of us. 844-500-4242. Next up is Tony. What's going on, Tony?
Hi, Aaron. How you doing? I'm listening to this thing about Minnesota, the Somalis, right? And then all of a sudden you hear someone out of Ohio saying there's a similar Somali fraud. And then you hear someone in Maine saying, well, there's another similar thing about Somalis in Maine. So I did some research, and I found out that when Walsh was in power in his first year, they have a biannual, a biannual budget. He was up to in the black, $18 billion. And within 24 months, Minnesota was negative $6 billion. That means an effective loss of $24 billion in their budget. They talk about CPAC payments, and they talk about home health care. There's 14 home health care corporations in one building, and that Nick Shirley guy went to see this, and as soon as he walked in there with a whistleblower, it wasn't just Nick Shirley, Nick Shirley and a whistleblower who appears in that film, all of a sudden they called the Minnesota police, and he was allegedly to be arrested for harassing people for asking why the doors were locked. And then when you get to different daycares, they're saying, oh, it was because there was a holiday. I don't know too many daycares that are closed on a Monday to a Friday. You're usually open, whether it is a holiday or not, in Canada anyway, you know, because daycares, people work. Lots of people have work even on holidays. So I don't understand that argument. But the whole issue...
Yeah, Canadian holidays don't count as real holidays anyway. But I did think it was wild when CNN said, like, oh, you didn't expect the doors to be unlocked, did you? Go ahead, give us cut number two, Jared.
Did you come during their normal operating hours when you came to visit?
I came at 11 a.m., I believe, and I also came the following day later in the day. The point of it is not whether or not I came at the right time of their operation hours. The point is blacked out doors. They can't give you any information. You call that number, no one answers. I wasn't trying to go inside. And there should be a way for somebody to actually be able to call that number and somebody be able to answer. These aren't real businesses.
But surely you don't think a daycare should just be unlocked. You shouldn't be able to just walk into a
there
daycare.
It should be a reception. It is
a no, reception. Every daycare is locked.
Their doors are locked. And so, okay, you bring up a fair point. Then why can't they actually give me information how to enroll a child?
I think they need to get their excuses straight. They need to get their excuses straight. Were they open? Weren't they open? Was it the hours? Wasn't it the hours? Did they close a week ago? Or are there people being dropped off today? Did they have the records and they were stolen? Or did they destroy them? We need to know what's going on. We need to get their stories straight. We'll get to the bottom of it here on the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Kamala Harris is bringing us a new way forward. She's bringing us a politics of joy.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
We are back on the Howie Carr Show. It's the last half hour of the show for the year 2025. We'll be off tomorrow. You'll get a best of episode, and then we'll be back on Friday, and then Howie, the man, the myth, the legend himself returns on Monday. 844-500-4242 is the number if you want to join the show and be on the final episode of Howie Carr for 2025. Donald Trump did make news today also. I mentioned his tweet, what he was saying about pulling back the National Guard. He also did have time, Jared, to issue two vetoes today. And they were bipartisan bills. Apparently, they were non-controversial until Trump vetoed them, according to the AP. President Donald Trump issued the first vetoes of his second term on Tuesday, rejecting two low-profile bipartisan bills, a move that had the effect of punishing backers who had opposed the president's positions on other issues. Trump vetoed drinking water pipeline legislation from Republican Representative Lauren Boebert of Colorado, a longtime ally who broke with the president in November to release files of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. He also vetoed legislation that would have given the Miccosukee tribe of Indians of Florida more control of some of its tribal lands. The tribe was among groups suing the administration over an immigration detention center in the Everglades known as Alligator Alcatraz. Both bills had bipartisan support and had been non-controversial until the White House announced that Trump would veto them Tuesday night. Trump appeared to acknowledge the tribe's opposition to the detention facility in a letter to Congress explaining his veto. The tribe has actively sought to obstruct reasonable immigration policies that the American people decisively voted for when I was elected. Trump did not, however, allude to Boebert in his veto of her legislation, but rather raised concerns about the cost of the water pipeline at the heart of the bill. In an interview later Wednesday with Politico, Trump also criticized the state's Democratic governor, Jared Polis, while saying that he issued his veto because they're wasting a lot of money and people are leaving the state. They're leaving the state in droves. Bad governor. Boebert, one of four House Republicans who sided with the Democrats to release the Epstein files, shared in a statement on social media suggesting the veto may have been for political retaliation. See, he didn't say it. He had said nothing about her, but she brings it up, right? Because she wants attention. I sincerely hope this veto has nothing to do with political retaliation for calling out corruption and demanding accountability. Americans deserve leadership that puts people over politics, her statement said. This isn't over. So she's going to fight with him. Now, the thing about the veto power of the president is he can veto something for any reason he wants, and politics is part of it. So political retaliation, I think, actually can be a reason for a veto. I'm not saying that was a good reason. I'm not saying that was the reason here, but I don't know that she necessarily has the winning argument there. And the tribes, right? If he doesn't like where you're going on immigration, he absolutely can veto a bill that impacts your sovereignty, that expands your sovereignty. You should expect it. 844-500-4242. Off to the phones we go to talk to Victor. Victor, you're on the Howie Carr Show with Aaron Chadbourne.
Aaron, great show. Appreciate your filling in for Howie. And, you know, I don't think people realize how serious the Democrat Marxists are about taking control here in America. The similarity is this: Minnesota, California, Massachusetts, and Maine, they all allow illegal immigrants to get a license. And when they get that license, Aaron, they're automatically enrolled to vote. That's all those states that I know of for sure. I've done the research on that. I don't know how many other ones that allow it. But here's the thing. You and I cannot go down and check the voter rolls to see if these people are, we don't get access to the voter rolls. They can just say no. Why? Because they weigh us out. They wear us down. And if we do not get active in the next year to make sure that we maintain the majority in the House and the Senate, we are totally baked. These people are so serious. They're gangsters at the top of the ticket. You don't get any higher than Tim Walz. Then, you've got Harris running out the back door of the White House, throwing a $2 billion check to that failed governor, Stacey Abrams, the governor candidate. These people are nothing but economic gangsters, and they don't mind putting any one of us down in order for them to obtain their objective.
I think that's a good point. I think that their elections have consequences. And when you put people like that in charge, that's absolutely what you're going to get. And Victor, thanks for the call. Your point about them getting the driver's licenses, and then when they're at the BMV or the DMV, whatever they call it in your state, they're also given the voter registration card and they try to enroll them to vote. They don't bother asking for their citizenship status. They don't bother asking. They make them attest that they are a citizen, but they don't really explain it to them. They don't always have an interpreter or translator, and they register to vote. But not only that, they in Maine, like several other states and many of these states that do give driver's licenses to illegals, they will allow them to get Medicaid. And they're not supposed to qualify for it, but the federal law does let states opt in, and if they put it in the statutes, allow them to be on the Medicaid rolls. And so in Maine, it's MaineCare. And you can bet that they know what they're doing. You can bet that they know what they're doing. You can bet that they know that they're trying to create the dependency. They're trying to get them on the government dole. They're trying to get them addicted to the federal money. And there's no question in my mind why the community that's tied up in this, they're not the only community that engages in the type of fraud that we're seeing here. But it is rampant in the communities that organize the way that this one does. And when you've got this combination of the political role, the way that they're being used as political pawns, the way that they're trying to target government programs to be engaged with that community, and then you have the lax oversight, and then you have the ability to shut down any line of inquiry by just claiming racism. That's a problem, because you're not going to have oversight. You're not going to have accountability. What you're going to have is you're going to have people too afraid that they'll get taken down, or people for whom the political power and the political reward is so great that the incentives you have, these perverse incentives that you've created, make it not only likely, but really inevitable that you're going to see the type of corruption that we're seeing here. And what Americans want most of all is they want, stop wasting our money. Don't insult the American people. You know, when you're putting people from other countries that come into our country on welfare, you're giving them a reason to come here. You're giving them a reason to cut the line. You're giving them a reason to cut the fence at the border to sneak in. And they weren't just coming from Mexico. It's not like our neighbors. We had them pouring in from all over the world. All over the world. You had them coming from China and sneaking through the southern border. And you make them eligible for benefits right away. You give them the incentives to come. And then you're not putting them on a pathway to work. You're not putting them on this. We were told that we needed them to be the workers and do the work. There may be people out there that are coming to work. They're coming for that thing. But no. What instead we're seeing is that people that don't have respect for our rules day one aren't going to have respect for our rules day 10, day 20, year 3, year 5, year 7. They're going to figure out what they can do to take advantage of our laws, take advantage of our generosity, take advantage of it. And the people that are playing by the rules, that are working hard, that are paying their taxes, don't deserve what we're seeing. They don't deserve Tim Walz. But you know, maybe Minnesota will reelect him. Maybe they're looking at what Tim Walz is doing and they're saying, hell of a job, Timmy. Maybe that's what they want. Maybe the Abby Phillipses of the world, they want the waste. All you need to do is look at what's going on in California to get a sense of what the left is happy with, right? Take a look at it. Representative Kevin Kiley is a Republican out in California, and he's been calling attention to the failures in California under Gavin Newsom. Here are some the examples that Kevin Kiley was citing. Cut 13.
Exactly. And this has been very precisely measured in terms of how much revenue California has had to give up because of people leaving. In fact, for four straight years in California, we led the nation in outbound U-Haul rentals. California's population continued to grow since 1850. It was only with Gavin Newsom as governor that it began to decline. And here's the important thing to note is that in California, the top 1% of earners can account for up to 50% of tax revenue. And so when you send those folks out of the state, then that can actually cause our entire financial setup to collapse. It's one of the reasons California has been running these massive deficits in recent years. But I do want to add, by the way, that it's not just those who are well off that are suffering under this system. California has the highest poverty rate in the United States, yeah, the highest unemployment rate, and most of the people leaving are leaving just because they can't afford to live here.
And this celebrity lawyer, Alex Spiro, who's previously represented people like Kim Kardashian and Elon Musk, who picked up and left,
Mr. Musk did, has penned a letter to Gavin Newsom warning that, quote, it will trigger an exodus, this wealth tax of capital and innovation from California, and our clients have made clear they will permanently relocate if subjected to this tax. Will he listen?
Well, I sure hope so. You know, Newsom has said that he is not in favor of the wealth tax, which is maybe the one tax he's ever not been in favor of. But they're trying to get it on the ballot. And so this is something that we absolutely have to fight against because, you know, as we've seen, California continues to spend more and more money, and yet our citizens get less and less in return.
And so you look at what's going on in California. You look at what California is putting in the ballot. You look at the various ways that Gavin Newsom has driven business and investment out of California, much to Texas's gain. If you look at the businesses leaving California, moving into Texas, you realize that people don't want more California-style policy. What they want is they want freedom. They want the ability to have a government that – you look at the referendums that passed in Texas. They were reducing tax burden. They were reducing their dependence on the government. California has been more about government control, government regulations, environmental regulations, and now this wealth tax. And so you hear that even Gavin Newsom doesn't support it, but then here's Abby Phillip, our unbiased arbiter of the news, of the panel on CNN. This is what she thinks about the wealth tax. Cut 11.
I'm not arguing for it. I'm just saying it's not a millionaire tax, it's a billionaire tax. And the idea would be, I guess, to use that revenue in order to offer improvements for the average Californian.
Worth debating. Why pick a billion? Why in Washington did you pick a million? Why don't you pick 999,999? Why not pick 500,000? Why pick 5%? Why not 6? Why not 10? Why not 20? Why not 50? The thing is, it's all arbitrary just to attack people that we hate. And it is not for the public benefit. In California, the state auditor just found $70 billion in fraud going on in the state. The reason they need a wealth tax is to cover up the fraud. The hole in the budget in California is due to fraud. That's why they're trying to tax these people.
No, but you just admitted that it was about in every state in the union.
70 billion?
Red states and in blue states. I mean, look, in Mississippi, there was a massive fraud scheme.
What about the other end
state? A massive fraud scheme that was, I think, something like $70
million. What about $70 million? They're pikers compared to Minneapolis.
Well,
what's going on there right now?
You just said, look, that's a lot of money for the state of Mississippi.
It's a lot of money for any state. It's a lot of taxpayer money, money taken out of the pockets of hardworking Americans. That's a lot of fraud, Abby Phillip. And the more money that you tax, the more of these programs you create, the more waste, fraud, and abuse you find. And you know what? People like you, Abby Phillip, on CNN, don't take seriously these allegations when they're made, even these prosecutions when they're going on. You don't give them the attention they deserve. And it ends up with whistleblowers, the people that are trying to bring attention to these frauds, they're being threatened. Now, whistleblowers we seem to care about when Donald Trump is president, and we have, inside whistleblower reports that his call with Ukraine. Whistleblowers are back in vogue. Well, how about the whistleblowers in these Democrat states? The whistleblower in Maine that was employee of Gateway Community Services saying, hey, we're billing for services we're not providing. Or whistleblowers in Minnesota that are that know about the fraud, they're getting threatened by people like Tim Walz. Cut 7.
Absolutely. We have dozens of credible whistleblower reports saying that exact same thing, that people were told not to say anything because they'd be called racist or Islamophobic or it would hurt the state. And so people tried to come forward but were shut down. And that protection of a particular community is what really allowed this fraud to flourish in Minnesota for years. But we have said very publicly that, yes, the bulk of the fraud we've discovered so far is in the Somali community. But some of our best whistleblowers are also in the Somali community. And it's really important that we get to the truth of this issue. And so by failing to call it out, we allowed it to continue. And that has hurt Minnesotans tremendously, taxpayers and our vulnerable citizens.
It's not just failure to call it out. It's willful ignorance. It's looking the other way. And the biggest crime of all, I think, is once the fraud was known, discovered, and even investigated, people indicted, they continued sending the money, good money after bad. We'll close out the year when we come back. This is the Howie Carr Show. And I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Follow Howie on Instagram.
Yeah, hi, I'm a big influencer.
Howie Carr Radio Network.
Go ahead and check it out. Recipe in bio.
Joey Carr is back.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne in for Howie. These are the final minutes of 2025 here on the show. Let's take our final caller of the year. Let's talk to John. John, you're on the Howie Carr Show.
Aaron, Happy New Year.
You do Same
a
to
wonderful
you.
Job fill, and you do a wonderful job filling in for Howie. I don't know why everybody is busting on you about your beard. I live in northeastern Pennsylvania. We listen to you regularly when we're up at our camp near Greenville, Maine, and we listen to WVOM. And anyway, you do a good job. Thank you so much.
Thank you. VOM, great station, home of George and Rick. We love them.
Yeah. I want to get to the Lewiston thing, although I really basically wanted to say Happy New Year and thank everybody at WVOM for putting on a good show. Lewiston thing, why is it that, okay, they tout the Somalis as being so important to the economy? I mean, I heard somebody say that Somalis built Minnesota. How phony is that? They didn't start coming in there until in the mid-1990s. I don't get it. How could these people lie through their teeth and face themselves in the morning?
It's called pandering, John. It's all about control. It's all about power. It's all about self-serving. These people, and you have to realize it with all politicians, is they will say anything that they need to get elected, to get a dollar, to get power. That's the name of the game. It has nothing to do with the truth. It has nothing to do with respect for the American people, with respect for the dollar, the people that they serve. It's 100% self-serving. Anything that they could do to attach to their political fortune, to keep themselves in power, to enrich themselves. That's what's going on. Thanks for the call, John, and Happy New Year to you as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And let me just take the opportunity to say to everyone out there that it's been a privilege to spend so much of 2025 with you, filling in for Howie, filling in for Grace, working with the great team here at the Howie Carr Radio Network. I think it's been a terrific 2025. I think that this first year of the Trump presidency has probably surpassed everyone's expectations in some of the things that he's done, but there's so much more yet to come. Buckle up for 2026. It's an election year. The Maine races are going to matter a lot. I know I'm from Maine, so I'm biased, but if you are a Republican, if you're a conservative, if you want to get the Democrats out, the races with Susan Collins, with Paula Page, those ones are going to matter. So we'll be back in the new year. I'll see you on Friday. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Aaron, Governor LePage calling. Do you know what your New Year's resolution should be? To shave that damn beard.